I felt the best about doing was removing the business equipment tax and boat tax for fishermen from the books.
We'll hear from former Assemblyman Scott Rossman. Kodiak takes the top halibut spot, and the Salvation Army has its Thanksgiving food box distribution. I'm Adam Richard. It's the KHNS Local News. The dust has settled from Haines' last election, and the new assembly is hard at work. I had a chance to talk with former Assemblyman Scott Rossman and find out why he didn't run for re-election to Assembly Seat C.
You know, it kind of wears on you, and I took a break between my first term and this one that I just completed, and I just needed a break, you know. You got your own life to tend to and take time out for that and regroup.
I asked Rossman if, looking back at his term, if there was anything that stood out in his mind as something he was most proud of.
Well, I really wasn't the kind of guy that was, sitting around dreaming up ordinances to, you know, put on the books for the sake of having ordinances. But the one thing that I felt the best about doing was removing the business equipment tax and boat tax for fishermen from the books. You know, if you were in construction, that was all of your rolling stock and tools and everything to do with your business. And if you were a fisherman, it was your boat. Now, I didn't do that all by myself, but, you know, I was part of that anyway.
The last election showed once again that Haines is a very polarized community. I asked Rossman if he felt that polarization kept things from getting done on the government level.
Yeah, to a point, sometimes, kind of, but in reality, that's the way the system works, you know. I mean, I've thought about this, and in all reality, in a representative republic that we live, whether it's Washington, D.C., or the Haines Borough Assembly, it isn't designed to work, you know, with 100% consensus on everything. I mean, you know, a long time ago, somebody figured out if they did that, nothing would ever get done. So disagreement is just part of the program. But I think what we have to do, everybody on both sides here, is just realize that everybody does not have to be happy to make a decision.
Are things in Haines as polarized as everyone thinks?
I think it's the same all over, and we just think it's here. I really do. You know, everybody wants to think that it's just here, and if you go to this other place or other state or other town or whatever, that everything's warm and fluffy and everybody agrees and there's no problems, but that's just not so.
Is there a direction that you would like to see the borough and assembly moving towards?
Well, I think we should just, you know, not worry about a rec center and not worry about anything else and concentrate on figuring out how to expand the boat harbor within our means. If we could just put all our resources into trying to develop the boat harbor, I think that is the one thing that we should be doing.
Do you have any plans for returning to politics?
I may be back someday, but for now I just have to take some time off.
The interview ended on a light note when I asked Rossman if he had anything to say to the new assembly.
glad it's you and not me.
The final day of the 2011 commercial halibut fishery was on Friday, and the season ended with Kodiak overtaking Homer as the top port for halibut landings in the state. It's virtually the first time that's happened since the individual fishery quota, or IFQ, management system was put in place in the mid-1990s. As KBBI's Marcia Lynn reports, several factors have influenced the turnaround.
Someone who's tracked Alaska's commercial fishery since 1988 first broke the story on her statewide program, Fish Radio.
It jumped out at me the week before the fishery closed. I was checking the stats, and I went, holy cow, Kodiak has gotten a couple hundred more landings than Homer and is beating them in poundage for the first time in memory.
Longtime Homer-based halibut fisherman Christy Fry was also taken aback by the recent turn of events.
Toppled. We were toppled.
She says quota shifts between waters in the Central Gulf and around the south end of Kodiak Island could be one reason.
You know, the
fact that the 3A quota went down so far and the 3B quota didn't, boats that traditionally deliver to Kodiak that fish 3B have more pounds, although the 3A quota on total is bigger, but the differential between those two areas changed. So boats that traditionally delivered to Kodiak just, you know, had more pounds to deliver, and with the price being what it is, it probably didn't really make a lot of difference which port they delivered to.
Which brings up the question of how halibut dock prices have changed over the years. Kevin Hogan is president of the Auction Block, a Homer business he started in 1997.
I think when we started, we were around $1.20 a pound, and it hung around there for a number of years, got down to 90 cents a pound, and now it's pushing $7.
Homer's high dock prices have traditionally lured in halibut fishermen, but this year the price differential between Kodiak and Homer began to shrink. Higher fuel costs can also be factored in, says Fry, plus a trend of nastier weather, while Hogan cites advances in technology.
With the sat phones and everything, the boats have the ability to stay in touch with the market a lot better than they used to. They used to just roll into port and start making phone calls. Now they make calls from the fishing grounds, and they know who's paying the most and where to get it.
He says while it's more expensive to fly out fresh product from an off-road port like Kodiak, current high prices have forced a market shift to increased frozen product, making shipping more cost-effective. But one thing remains certain, according to fisheries journalist Lainey Welch, lots of people have a taste for the big flatfish.
The buyers I talk with all over the state are scratching their heads because the prices for halibut are in the nosebleed area, and yet the product is still in such demand.
She says sometimes pennies a pound can make a difference as to where fishermen deliver their catches, adding that high demand is centered primarily in U.S. markets.
Thanksgiving is just a few days away, and the Haines Salvation Army held their Thanksgiving food box distribution today. About 60 families came to the Chilcat Center to take advantage of the holiday program. The program has been around for about 20 years. This year there was a new couple in charge. I spoke with Austin and Naomi Anderson to find out how it is they came to be in Haines and heading up the Salvation Army.
My name is Lieutenant Austin Anderson.
My name is Lieutenant Naomi Anderson.
And we're the Corps officers here at the Haines Salvation Army. We've been here for about 4 months, and this is our first appointment. We actually just came from the training school in Los Angeles. I'm originally from Spokane, and my wife is from Brisbane, Australia. But we spent 2 years in Los Angeles being trained, but before that we were in the Seattle area for a few years working with the Salvation Army.
Brisbane is an awfully long way from Haines. How did you find your way here?
I was involved in the Salvation Army in Australia, and I was taking a break from my studies and was on a world trip with my sister, and we went to many different countries, and one of them happened to be the United States, where I worked at a Salvation Army summer camp, where I met a strapping young gentleman named Austin Anderson, and we were married less than a year later.
So what's the purpose of the food box distribution program?
Well, we really don't want anybody to go hungry, and so we are just give people food if they meet the government requirements, because we're giving out government food, and so we want to make sure that they have enough food for to give them something to eat until they can provide for themselves.
And what are the qualifications needed in order to participate in that food box program?
The requirements to be eligible for the food box is the same as food stamps and Social Security.
And what kind of food was available at today's distribution?
And so we have fruit, vegetables, meat product, bread, and then for Thanksgiving we had a lot of special Thanksgiving foods like pumpkin, cranberry, and mashed potatoes, and as well as turkeys, and two hams.
So where did you come up with all of the food for the food boxes?
A really big thank you to all the grocery stores in town that have been very generous with our monthly food bank distribution, or monthly food bank food that we've been able to give out. But also a big thanks to Hauser's for donating quite a few turkeys, and also we got a good number of turkeys from Olerud's as well. And so
Besides the Thanksgiving box, the Salvation Army also has a monthly food box that is available the last Thursday of every month. Their food bank is an equal opportunity provider available to all that qualify. They are also planning for their Christmas box coming up in December.
We also are having a Christmas distribution for food and toys, and the sign-up for that is November 29th, and the sign-up is at the Salvation Army from 11 to 1. And so any families that would also qualify for our Thanksgiving food box and have need for food for Christmas can go there for the sign-up, and they will need their Social Security card, proof of residence, and proof of income for that as well.
The Salvation Army's government funding was cut substantially this year, and they are feeling the effects.
And so we would like to ask for donations of Christmas food, the type of things that you would eat at a Christmas meal, but also any kind of food. And you can bring that by the Salvation Army during thrift store hours. You can bring it in the thrift store, and we'll be happy to give it out at our distribution.
If you have any questions or donations, you can go to the Salvation Army during thrift store hours on Thursday or Friday from 12 to 3, or give them a call at 766-2470. Special thanks to Marsha Lynn for help with this broadcast. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.